I'm on a mission to help high flyers just like yourself, who until now have let the fear of public speaking hold them back from making a bigger impact. Join me as I find out the secret sauce from the world's leading speakers to make your speeches more interesting, enjoyable to give, and impactful for your audience. That's the mission, and this podcast will get you there. My name's Victor Ahipeni, and this is the Public Speaking Secrets Podcast.
Speaker Nation, what's happening? I'm Victor Ahipeni, back for another episode of Public Speaking Secrets. And today, I have got, you're very, very lucky, because this is probably going to change the path of your life. I've got Trav Bowen, and he is the number one, the world's number one bucket list expert, and he is a self-appointed bucket listologist. He's going to help you get a bit more clarity with where your bucket list is, how you make it a tangible plan for your life. He is a fellow TEDx speaker and author with the My Bucket List Blueprint. He's a thought leader, and he is a globally recognized certified speaking professional, which I know will perk a lot of your ears up, because many of you are either on that path or looking to go on it. But most importantly, he's CEO of Bucket List Coaches. They're on a mission to help 10 million people just like you create their bucket list and tick it before you kick it, which is a hashtag that you can check out, because I absolutely love it. And I just want to welcome Trav to the show.
G'day, Victor. G'day, everyone. Stoked to be on, mate.
It's a pleasure to have someone else in the Southern Hemisphere. It means I'm not up at 4 or 5 a.m. in the morning trying to get energized.
I know the feeling.
for everyone out there, can you just give us a little bit of a background on you? How did you kind of become the world's number one bucket list expert? Because that doesn't sound like something that you finished school and your career advisor said, yeah, that'd be a pretty awesome thing to do. So how did that all come about? And what was your journey to kind of get here?
Yeah, I reckon if anyone at school, a career advisor, had given that to a graduate, they would have got the sack on the spot, hey? Mate, someone called me the bucket list guy after a very, very ordinary first seminar that I did. I had a history in personal training, so I was one of the first to franchise personal training studios around Australia. I did that for, built it from one client, did about 2.5 million personal training sessions over the course of 20 years. We had, 21 personal training studios, and did that for sort of started the speaking career, funnily enough, for the Australian Institute of Fitness. I was one of the senior presenters down here in Melbourne, and was very, very involved in that world. And I know you've got that physio background, mate, and you know, that was kind of my life. With a phys ed degree, I was a jock my whole life. I'd come into personal training. That was a natural thing for me, and I didn't get the marks to get into physio, mate, so very jealous. But here I am now as the
bucket list guy. Yeah, probably a good thing.
But look, my love of people kind of started there. My love of coaching people started there. I love speaking because I can coach one to many. You know, there's nothing better, nothing more satisfying, I think, than having the, I call it popcorn, happen, when people, you get a room of it, 1,000+ people, and you just hear the aha or the pop, 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 pop around the room. And there's nothing better than, I think, coaching one to many and via the stage. And look, for me, I got out of the personal training, went through depression, found myself every weekend at self-help seminars, hugging it out and high-fiving with the best of them, because I didn't want to go on heavy antidepressants. And through a series of events, someone said to me, mate, why don't you teach this stuff? You're in these seminars, you spent a small fortune, why don't you teach this stuff? And this is, NLP, positive psychology, business. I just signed up for everything. And it was all about, all about me. And then someone sort of helped me, I guess, compartmentalize everything and what I was going through. I said, you should teach this stuff. And I went, stuff it. I did. and put on a seminar, about 40 people. Mum and dad were at the back going, what the hell is he doing now? And I nearly had to pay the people to be there, to be honest. It was shocking. When I look back at it now as a, you know, globally recognized certified speaking professional, when I look back on my first seminar, there might even be footage of it somewhere in the depths of the internet. It was shocking. And about halfway through, I started talking about my list to do before I die. I had one since I was 18. And I asked the room, you know, who else has got one of these lists to do before you die? And look, no one. I was the only freak in the room. And then I said, well, what the hell? Why are you here? Why are you working? Why do you want to earn money? Why, you know, what do you want to do before you die? I was just really curious. And then everyone started to come alive and the shit seminar went from not so shit. And then at the end of it, Joe, one of our old personal training clients at the time, she goes, how's all this, you know, list to do before you die stuff? It's like a bucket list. You're like the bucket list guy. I went home and registered the domain name, thebucketlistguy.com. I had no idea how I was going to monetize it. But me being me, mate, I was on the internet. And I was like, who's like the McDaddy? Who's like the king of bucket lists in the world? Oh, look, no one. So I called myself the world's number one bucket list expert.
Yeah. Well, if no one's going to dispute you, you may, it's going to be you.
That's it. So I know all your listeners right now, mate, are like, oh my God, I'm really listening to the world's number one. Yeah. And I called myself that. So look, at the end of the day, it's in all honesty, it's been the filter, the lens that I have always looked at my life through. It's you know, I say a bucket list is a tangible life plan where our career plan or our business plan should fit into our life plan, not be the other way around. So when I speak, I really bring home the work to live principle, or what I call work-life blend rather than work-life balance. And, mate, it's given me the absolute amazing life of being able to run around the world, do stupid shit on my bucket list, some of it very meaningful, like orphanages and stuff like that in Cambodia, through to all the stupid shit. So being a speaker, the cool thing about that is every year I update all my stories on my speeches because they're always fresh. So it's given me crazy ammunition. But more importantly, my highest value, if not it's my health, my highest value, mate, is helping others. And this has given me an absolute unbelievable platform to be able to do that.
And, I mean, we've all heard the saying, if you want to make more money, help more people. And, I mean, obviously there's the leverage with being able to get in front of people and speaking. And you said when you first started the Bucket List Guy, you didn't know how you were going to make a buck from it. But yeah,
The North Americans
love to say there's riches in the niches. And obviously, yeah, you were out there going, hey, I'm going to be – yeah, I'll run one of these seminars. I'll be Tony Robbins teaching NLP. And then you found this kind of awesome niche where you can, you know, really create something of your own to be able to be teaching them. How did you then go, okay, cool, I've got this thing. I'm going to start figuring out a way to monetize it and to systemize it into something repeatable?
Well, my main modality has always been speaking. I've got really no fear around public speaking, but when I was growing up, I really did. Yep. So after years and years of just doing little gigs and screwing a lot of things up along the way, you just build this muscle of just not caring, you know, of just don't fear embarrassment. And if anyone's, you know, your audience, mate, they're looking at becoming speakers or established speakers, the only way to get good at speaking is to speak. You're going to have some horror stories. We all have stand-up comedians, you know, they tell some of the best in the world have all got stories, and actors, and they've all got stories of where performances have gone pear-shaped. Speaking is going to be no different. But when you come out the other side and you really – starting to help people with your message and be really authentic. It's unbelievable. Really, really cathartic for us. Mm-hmm. So, where was I going with that? Don't know.
How did you transition to monetizing that kind of message?
Yeah, when I started, I had no idea. Like, my limiting belief was, who the hell is going to pay someone to write a list?
Yeah.
Why would a company pay me to write a list? So I really created this whole lifestyle design kind of element around it. And coming out of the blocks, you mentioned Anthony Robbins. I, you know, being around his world a bit and others, I came out as a public speaker rather than a professional private speaker, a keynote speaker. There's two types of speaking, by the way. There's public speaking and what I call private speaking. So public speaking is where you run your own events and people pay for their own seat, and you normally got that ascension model kind of built in from, you know, free to fee.
Yep.
And then you've got the professional speaking or the keynote speaking, which is essentially you're a gun for hire for different conferences and you have a keynote fee. And you might at best be able to sell a book or, you know, mention some other course that you got. So I came out of the blocks limiting belief that my message had nothing to do with corporates whatsoever, but it was all about running your own, you know, running personal development events. So having done a lot of positive psychology and NLP and whatnot, and every course that I could get my hands on, I ran a course called the Bucket List Experience for 3.5. It went for 3.5 days, and I ran that for about 3.5 years. Did the tour around Australia, really badly sold from stage to get people to come to my bigger, more expensive event. But filled rooms every time, you know. And then from there, then took people around the world to do my, you know, to do their bucket list with me. So I took people to Kokoda, Machu Picchu, Everest, Kilimanjaro, you know, basically took them all along for the ride. And so going back to when I started, had no idea how that was all going to pan out. Built that public speaking business up pretty good, but it comes with, there's pros and cons to it. There's a lot of stress involved. But meanwhile, I was getting asked to do a lot more keynote speaking, not just here in Australia, but my first international gig was New Zealand.
Yep.
There we go, over there in Auckland. You can call yourself international when you do something over. But that's when it started. I started to get more and more opportunities from different companies and organisations to speak. And then before you know it, the message took a more corporate, you know, team engagement kind of angle, life engagement kind of angle.
And I mean, it's really interesting you say that, like initially the limiting belief, because I know some health professionals. They do business coaching for other, you know, health professionals who are in their businesses. And one of them, I think he had a clinic for 3.5 years before any of his staff, he had like 30 something staff, and none of them left in the 3.5 or 2.5 years or something. And the whole thing was, he sat down every 3 months with them. And from day dot, what are your goals? What are your aspirations? Not just in business and in work, you know, do you want to buy a house? Is it getting married? Is it going on a holiday? And then redesigning all of their business and work stuff. How do we make sure that this gets achieved? And then every 3 months checking it off. And yeah, they're achieving more in 6 months than they'd achieved in the last 6 years from just, you know, having those goals. Like, you kind of, I would hazard a guess that you help people break down and design their life around, which is, it's really cool.
Yeah, it's an incentive program we run for employers to extract and then articulate every person or every employee who goes through one of our programs. And this is what some of our coaches facilitate, is to get their bucket list, get every employee's bucket list, and use that as an incentive, as a motivator. And it really works. And some are expensive, of course. Some involve family, charity, challenges. team come together and do things together. It's a really good culture builder as well.
Mm.
It's been a real surprise. It's been cool.
And so, like, listening to everything you've said, you've obviously, like, I don't know whether you're a fan of, I do. You had a photo with Tim Ferriss, but the whole 80-20 and leveraging and changing things. You've done that with your PT business in the past. And what I haven't seen a lot of people be able to successfully do, maybe T. Harv Eker, and that's probably it, is be able to create not just the accession model, but also having coaches out there. And so leveraging your own time, so it's not just you. So you talk kind of the aspiring speakers and even those out there at the moment. Where did that idea come into the model of you going into it, and how have you kind of fleshed that out and turned it into reality?
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, straight after I did my TED talk, and if anyone wants to go and have a look at that, it's called Life's Too Short by Trav Bell. And it was actually straight after that I flew to South Africa to do a keynote for Action Coach Global. So they had their top 300 coaches there in South Africa. I rocked up thinking that I was going to do an hour and a half, and I rocked up and they said, no, you got 3 hours. I went, okay. So I had to readjust some slides. Their business is, I think they've got about 1,200 franchise coaches around the world in about 80 countries. The founder franchisor is a Brisbane guy and gave a talk, did well apparently. I had a heap of people, you know, a heap of the coaches actually ripped my stuff off as well. And I've gone back to the founder. I said, oh, that's not on. He said, no, that's good. And while we're on that, come over to Las Vegas where he lives now and let's talk about licensing what you do. I think you're onto something. And this is a guy who's regarded as the world's number one business coach and author of 18 books. And I said, well, that's okay. I'll fly over to Vegas and let's do it. So I flew over there, and within about 15 minutes of the 2 days that I spent over there, we had a business plan. So Brad and I went into business together, and now I'm the global CEO of Bucket List Coaches around the world. And with that, I've had to leverage, let go, entrust that other people right now are teaching my stuff all around the world. Why is that? Why did I go for that? One, yes, leverage. Two, when I speak about Bucket List, mate, I also speak about legacy. Legacy is a big thing that comes up in a lot of discussion that I have with people. You and I both know that when we're speakers, we're a gun for hire, and in this crowded marketplace, it's very busy and noisy. We can be forgotten about like that. My biggest fear, and I tell this to a lot of speakers who are coming through, you can be forgotten about really quick. Doesn't matter how great your speech might be, but you know, they might take time, the participants might take time out of their lives to work on their lives with me in the seminar room, but as soon as they leave my gig, they're back into their to-do list and not their bucket list.
Yeah.
And the bucket list guy could be a flash in the pan kind of, he was hot at the late 2000s where is he now?
Yep.
So I'm very conscious of that because I've been a president of the National Speakers Association, Professional Speakers Association down here in Victoria before, been on the board of the PSA as well. And there's been a lot of people that I know who've gone before me who have been hot 10 years ago, heavily booked 20 years ago, and are still reaching for that. You know, they didn't leverage their business model. They didn't leverage their IP. So as a result, with all that combined, you know, I agreed to go into business and really leverage. And you know, we set up a company over there in Nevada. And mate, in 10 months since starting to sell licenses for people to become a certified bucket list coach, we're in 10 countries in 10 months.
That's awesome.
I'm literally today getting all my shit translated it into Portuguese, Spanish, Vietnamese, currency exchanges, all that. And I'm like, it's super weird to go into like, I did a gig in Cambodia and Vietnam this year, and I don't know what they're saying. There's a translator at the back of the room. Have you ever done any gigs by translation?
No, I've seen a couple.
Oh, mate, they are. It's like, you know, I try and be funny, and and for the listeners at home, I did the quotation mark try. But you're like delivering a message, and you know where you normally get laughs, and then you're like, you drop the joke, waiting for the punchline, you know, the punchline to deliver it. You're waiting for the laughs that you normally get just on cue, and you're standing there going, and there's my joke. Ha 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 ha. Like this 5 second delay, and it's like you're standing up on stage, you know, just super awkward.
Just throwing your timing out.
Yeah. So, but to hear, you know, in their native language, blah, 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 bucket list coach or blah, 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 the bucket list guy, you know, branding right around the world is still bucket list. Because if you actually translated the word bucket list into Vietnamese, Spanish, it makes no freaking sense at all. Yeah. So that's a good testament to what we're putting out there. And our coaches are really have taken taken the baton, they're running with the baton and helping people where I could never help. You know, it's so cool and extremely humbling that someone has invested money, you know, invested, you know, in this little idea, mate, and it freaks me out every day. But it's, you know, we're about to open in South Africa and some people, and it's really cool. It's really cool. We've got business coaches, life coaches, people who've been through cancer, come out the other end, adventurers, leadership people, you know, like it's our youngest coach is 21 and he lived in a van for three. You grab this big Instagram following, he lived in a van cruising around the world and he's a bucket list coach now. He did this to monetize his following. Interesting.
Well, I mean, that's what it is. It's that legacy point and it's that leverage. Like, you know, you and I speaking one-to-one is great. You can have an impact on me, but then, you know, we put this podcast out to the world and, you know, it impacts X amount of people and you get in front of a stage. But then if you can turn that into your message so powerfully given, you know, through the right systems and stuff set up, I think it's so cool. And you know, even just the looking of, yeah, the franchisee model, I think, should really spark a, hey, does this fit what I'm currently doing in my business, whoever's out there listening, to then be able to take their message, their impact, and just their business to a whole nother level. I think it's super cool.
Yeah, and it really is. It's extremely humbling, and I guess the biggest shift for me is – and it sounds paradoxical when I say I'm a speaker still and I love, you know, I love being up on stage. It's a paradox when I say I've actually got to let go of my ego in order to do that and let other people run with my IP. Sure, I've protected my IP and that sort of thing, but it really is humbling when we're, you know, coaching people in Mexico and people I've never come into contact with, and our coach down there is just killing it, you know, and helping a heap of people that I'd never get through to in my lifetime. So that's Leverage 101, mate. And I don't think there's too many other speakers who have gone down that path. But I guess the validation from my business partner, you know, and seeing it actually come to fruition is, that's what it's all about for me.
And with that, with checking the ego at the door, what are you looking like for the next couple of years? Like, you're a speaker, but you're also a CEO of an actual company, like not just that I just call myself a CEO and I'm the only person in the company.
An actual CEO.
So like, how are you looking to balance that? Like, what does the business plan look like, or is it a process?
Yeah, that's a good question. Basically, if you look behind, well, you I mean, we've got cameras on while we're talking, but you've got a map of the world, and in front of me, you've got a map of America with all the, if you can see that.
Yep, all the states.
All the states in America, and basically, the real expansion plan is to sell off the master licenses or master franchises to each country, and get a champion within each country to then on-sell licenses, and that's how you leverage. It makes sense, but finding the right people, the right kind of mindset, and I do say no to a bunch of people as well because they don't pass the dickhead test.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, it's just getting those right people on, and I'm sure we're going to make some mistakes along the way. But, you know, for instance, we've sold the rights recently to Australia and New Zealand. So there's going to be someone running Australia and New Zealand for me, and I still live in Australia, and they're going to be doing what I've been doing for the last couple of years. It's kind of weird.
Yeah, kind of weird.
That puts me in a position where, you know, being the CEO, managing their KPIs and that sort of thing. But still, you know, we've got some amazing things coming down the pipeline in terms of what we're going to be doing within schools, our BL4K program, Bucket List for Kids, working with some people in the education space at the moment and getting this, you know, tied into some curriculums around the world, which is so exciting, which every coach is absolutely frothing over. Yeah, a ticket before you kick a club as well, which will happen, and so, it's an amazing to see it all roll out.
Yeah, so I was about to say when you're saying everyone was frothing, my previous podcast that I had a couple of hundred episodes of was the Youngpreneurs podcast. So it was, you know, all these people going, we need entrepreneurship in schools and I want to do it and I want to help it and everything like that. So, yeah, if that helps give people a bit more guidance going into an ever-changing world, then I'm all behind you. So just to wrap up, a couple of questions for people who, you know, were probably where you were, where all of us were at some stage in our life. We were scared of public speaking. What's the best tip you've ever been given, or the biggest observation you've seen from good or bad speakers while you've been on the circuit?
Yeah, look, I think the road to authenticity is a must. You must get as authentic as you possibly can, as fast as possible. Don't try and be someone else. Don't try and be, you know, I love the saying, you know, we're always comparing our behind the scenes footage with someone else's highlights reel. And what we've got to do is be ourselves. I mean, I'm 45, and up until a year ago, I had a mohawk.
Yeah, I was looking at your website earlier. My girlfriend's like, oh, he's got a mohawk.
Yeah, I did have a mohawk. And so, and I purposely had that because I, you know, I just love going against the rules, to be honest. But here's the thing. If a corporate, and I've spoken at ASIC, I've spoken at the ATO,
yeah,
you know, the Australian Investment Securities Commission, the government, all these highfalutin sort of organisations that are all, you know, buttoned up and suited up, and I rock in there with literally jeans on, mohawk, earrings, tats, the whole thing. And at the end of the day, T-shirt, the end of the day, speakers who are listening to this, be yourself, because what they don't want when they go and hire you as a speaker, as a thought leader, is they don't want a sheeple. They don't want someone that's like them. Your ideas, your intellectual property should be designed to go in there and disrupt, not in an anarchistic way. I don't think I'm saying that right, but...
Sorry, we're all about making up words on here, but...
But at the end of the day, mate, you know, it's to give them another lens or another filter, another perspective to look at their life through or their business through. You've got to go in there and give them, otherwise you add no value, right? The other thing that I wanted to add is the founder of the Professional Speakers Association of Australia, Winston Marsh, said, you've got to be a better marketer of what you do than a doer of what you do. Better marketer of what you do than a doer of what you do. So don't think that you just being a great speaker, orator from stage, is going to cut it, you know. My advice to everyone is pick a highway and then pick a lane and own the lane. Mm. Pick a highway, then pick a lane, own the lane. Lastly, is just speak. Be yes man and just speak. Don't think that you're Anthony Robbins coming out of the blocks. You're not. And you need to go out and speak. And I can look at any up-and-coming speaker and whether they're going to be good or not by just looking at their calendar. Are you doing the cheap rotary 20-minute bloody, you know, you get the plaque and the you know, the rubber chicken and, you know, you're doing the you've got to do that hustle in order to work your speaking muscle. And I didn't mean to rhyme that at all.
It's brilliant,
though. But, you know, at the end of the day, you've got to go out. Even the best speakers in the world are still doing freebies. Mm. And this is the good thing about freebies is where you can go out and really hone your craft. See if your jokes, metaphors, stories pop or absolute, you know, bomb.
Yeah.
So go out there, speak as much as possible.
Legend. We'll link all of those tips at publicspeakingblueprint.com. Trav, thank you so much. And I just want to welcome you to Speaker Nation. If people want to find out more about you or what you're doing, where can they go? What can they do?
Pretty easy, mate. They just go www.thebucketlistguy.com and pretty much go from there. I'm all over the socials, either as Trav Bell, Ash the Bucket List Guy, or at Trav Bell.
Cool. Well, we'll link all of those in the show notes, publicspeakingblueprint.com, as well as Trav's TED Talk and all the links to get in touch with them. So thanks again, and it's been an absolute pleasure, and I look forward to touching base when we happen to be in the same city around the world or even more likely around Australia.
Yeah, cool.
If you want to fast track your confidence and impact with public speaking, then be sure to jump over to publicspeakingblueprint.com, where there's an array of free resources to help you no matter where you are on your journey to becoming a more powerful speaker. And while you're at it, jump over to Facebook and join our free community called Speaker Nation, where there's a ton of other like-minded individuals just like yourself looking to level up. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe so you don't miss next week's episode.